Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 102 for July 29th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
The Farkas is a huge range available to people. We hopefully have a whiskey to suit everybody's palate and obviously also a whiskey to suit everybody's wallet.
That's George Grant, the latest in a long line of Grants to work at the family's Glenfarclas Distillery in Speyside. He'll lead us through a tasting session later, but first, let's look at the news. This past week, we found out just how profitable the whiskey business has been over the past year. Pernod Ricard reported a 6% increase in overall sales, but sales of the Glenlivet rose 15% and the Ballantine's blend 11%. LVMH, which owns Glenmorangie and Ardbeg, also reported profits, and in the States, Beam Global Spirits and Wines bourbon and scotch sales helped parent company Fortune Brands make up for poor performance in its home improvement units. White & Mackay's final set of financial data before the United Spirits takeover shows the company cut its financial losses in half from 2005's results. Diageo reports its year-end figures sometime in August. Glengoyne is working on a new single malt with a link to the past. The distillery's filling Australian Shiraz wine casks with 16-year-old malt whiskey this month. Now for the history lesson. Glengoyne was originally known as Glenguine, but changed its name in the early 1900s. The Shiraz casks are coming from Australia's Glenguine Winery, and owner Robin Tedder holds the title of Baron of Glenguine. There's no word on when the limited edition whiskey will be on the market. It is expected later this year, though, and will be sold worldwide. A note now for the distillers and independent bottlers that do listen to the show. As I've mentioned before, I'm a proud member of the Malt Maniacs, and the entry deadline is getting closer for this year's Malt Maniacs Whiskey Awards. Last year, a 21-year-old Yamazaki single malt from Japan won the Best of Show Award, and this year the competition is open to North American whiskeys as well. If you're in the industry and want more information on entering the 2007 competition, visit maltmaniacs.com. And as I've reported before, there are only two living bourbon distillers with whiskeys named after them, Jimmy Russell of Wild Turkey and Buffalo Trace's Elmer T. Lee. They're about to get some company. Heaven Hill is working on a bourbon collection that will be named after master distiller Parker Beam. The word leaked out of Bardstown a couple of weeks ago, but the official announcement is expected in the next few days. I'll have the complete details as soon as they're available. And as long as I'm talking about Kentucky, construction work is winding up on a new visitor's center at Maker's Mark in Loretto. The new center is expected to be open in time for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. The festival takes place in Bardstown from September 12th through the 16th, and that's just one of the events coming up over the next few weeks. The Dundee Dell in Omaha, Nebraska has Scotch tastings on August 5th and the 9th. Whiskey Fringe in Edinburgh is August 18th and 19th. Australia's Malt Whiskey Convention is August 24th through the 26th. The Brandy Library in New York has a Spirits School session on Scotches August 28th. And Whiskey Galore in Christchurch, New Zealand will host Glenfarclas tastings with Ian McWilliam on August 31st and September 1st. There's a complete list of worldwide whiskey events at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Last year, Glenfarclas was honored as Distiller of the Year in Whiskey Magazine's annual Icons of Whiskey Awards. The Grant family has operated Glenfarclas since 1865, and George Grant is following not only in his father's footsteps, but his grandfather's, his great-grandfather's, and so on. I caught up with George this week on one of his regular visits to the U.S. for a tasting session at the Brandy Library.
Tonight, we're tasting the 12, 17, 21, and the 105. We did have the 10-year-old, but we went for a very nice long lunch, and then we ended up giving the bottle away to the person that was serving us lunch. So,
That's a nice tip.
And it was very nice. Well, it was a great actually deal for lunch. We walked in and they were already serving the 105, started having a long chat, and in the end they actually bought us lunch. And we definitely got the better end of the deal.
That's a fair trade.
Very fair trade. Very happy. I wish more people did that.
So let's start with the 12.
Sure. Well, 12-year-old, single Highland malt from Scotland, Glenfarclas, the meaning. Glen means valley, Farclas, green grassland. To me, this is Glenfarclas. When you taste Glenfarclas, is the 12-year-old, the flavour of the green grass really comes through on it. So you get like lovely green flavours, like you've just been out and cut the grass. You've also got some earthy notes coming through on it as well. All Glenfarclas is at natural colour, so we don't actually add any colouring to it. And we have put this one through the filtration system, so it has been cut in that sense, and we've also cut it with some water. So it's lost a little bit of the colour, and it's lost the strength due to the fact that we've reduced it down to 43%, or 86 American proof. There you go.
So we're looking at this now. Now, what am I going to be looking for when I taste this?
You're definitely going to be looking, you know, first of all, you've got to admire the colour of this. You know, Glenfarclas does have a beautiful, rich amber gold colour to it. The nose, why it's got beautiful legs coming through the side of the glass.
I can see that. It's I wish the light were better in here because it's hard to see, but you've got that nice light color. You've got the oiliness. I can see the legs on it just sort of coming right off the glass here.
Yep. So the Glenfarclas standard range, what we're tasting today, is 60% matured in Oloroso sherry casks, 40% matured in plain casks. So it's got that beautiful balance where it's not overpowering by the sherry, but yet it's also not overpowered by the bourbon casks or the plain casks that a lot of distilleries do use. So it's still got that rich, sweet flavour, but it's also got that beautiful balance coming through there. The 12-year-old does, it's very fresh, very vibrant. Compared to the 10-year-old Glenfarclas that we do here in America, it's a lot more fuller whiskey. It's got 3% more strength to it, and it really is prominent more in the nose rather than the taste. The taste of this whiskey, great sweetness, great mixture of dried herbs, fruits, a very good mixture of them all.
The grass in the nose.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people, you know, do try to explain to them what you should be getting from that one.
And there is a good balance between the sherry cask and the bourbon cask in this. A lot of whiskeys, it's hard to pull that off.
It is, but I mean, just to correct you there, it's not bourbon casks. Yes, we use the sherry casks. At Glenfarclas, we don't use any first fill bourbons. They're all either, what we class as a plain cask, either a refill bourbon or a fourth fill sherry. So a cask will have been filled by another distillery in Speyside before it will be filled by Glenfarclas.
Now, that's a nice, a bit of smokiness to this one that I pick up that I know you don't use any peating, so, or am I wrong on this?
We do use a little bit of peat. We use roughly 1 to 3 parts per million ppm.
Okay, so I'm wrong on that, but I'm picking that up. And I'm also picking up a lot of the grassy flavors that you're talking about, and just a nice touch of sherry.
I couldn't describe it better myself.
Good long finish.
It's the difficult thing you're going to do today is you're going to taste 4 different Glenfarclas. Yes, at the moment when you taste it, it's got a beautiful long finish. But when you compare it to the next 3 you're going to taste, this finish is nothing. I mean, it's always very difficult when you come to taste Glenfarclas because we do have such a wide portfolio of whiskies. To taste one against the other is very difficult to do because you're always going to downtrod the one you tasted beforehand. Yes, the 12-year-old does very well against other 12-year-old whiskies in the marketplace. This whiskey won Best Sherried Whiskey in Sweden, which was a great honour for us late last year. You know, so it's a whiskey that does do very, very well. It's a great shame we don't actually sell it in the UK.
Okay, so we're going on to the 17 next? Or? Okay, let me set that down. And what's the story on this one?
17 is again an interesting whiskey. We only sell this whiskey in America and in Asia. The reason behind that is for a long time we had a problem in Japan, people paralleling whiskey, paralleling Glenfarclas. So we offered to leave 17-year-old exclusively before Japan. And also we didn't take it away from the Americas because you guys are a different bottle size. Everybody here is a 750 ml, everywhere else in the world is a 700. So therefore we could leave distributed here in America. So it's a very exclusive product that's generally only available here, Japan, and a couple of different sites within Europe.
And this is a lot darker than the 12.
It's a lot darker than the 12. General reason behind that is, obviously, as whiskey gets older, it's going to lose alcoholic strength. So therefore, the 12-year-old that you tried, it would have been down to about 58% alcohol before we had to reduce it down to 43% alcohol. The 17-year-old has come down to about 56, so we've got to add as much water to it to bring it down to that strength.
And this is more of a color of good clover honey as opposed to sort of the light amber of the 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same recipe we're using. Still 60% sherry, 40% plain. Obviously, different whiskies, different casks that are available to us at that time.
I get more of the sherry nose off of this one, though.
Definitely get more sherry. I mean, obviously, younger whiskies, you're going to get much more of the spirity flavors, spirity noses coming off it, more of that alcohol strength, whereas the 17 has had that extra 5 years, so it's just matured a great deal. I mean, it's like yourself or like myself, you know, a person, 12-year-old, 17-year-old, there's a huge difference in that person.
I've been told that I'm probably still more like a 12-year-old. This is good. Okay, I get the sherry taste in this one. I don't get as much of the grass, though, which is like what we're talking about.
The grass flavor's definitely gone from this. You're getting much more of the fruit flavors in this one. The herbs and spices have almost gone from this whiskey as well. The fresh fruit flavors, you should hopefully be getting some like citrus notes coming through in this one as well. Like orange zest, lemon zest is coming through there.
I get the citrus, the lemon, a little bit of the orange. For some reason, a little bit of lime, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a flavor I don't normally pick up on. I'm not a big lime sort of drinker or user, but it's definitely that sort of citrus zesty flavors coming through there.
And I'm trying to think what else I pick up in this. I pick up a little bit of vanilla.
A little bit of vanilla there. I'd probably also say you get a slight hint of like sweetness, like dark burnt chocolate at the back of your mouth. You should also be getting a little bit like candy floss, cotton candy coming through in that as well. You know, the sweetness, but it's very light, sort of crispy sweetness.
I do get the chocolate taste at the back now that I've had a chance to swallow it a little bit more. It's dark chocolate, not quite burned chocolate, but almost like a real dark cocoa.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain because obviously here in America, your chocolate is completely different to European chocolate, whereas our chocolate's got much higher cocoa content, so the flavors that you sort of describe can be...
But some of us prefer European chocolate to American chocolate.
And some of us prefer American, Scotch whiskey rather to an American whiskey, but it's, thank God everybody's different.
Oh, this is really good. This is very smooth and well-balanced, too.
The 17-year-old, to me, is definitely a whiskey that covers all the bases. You know, it's a whiskey you can drink before dinner, during dinner, after dinner. It's not a whiskey that's set by that defined moment in its time. The 12-year-old is definitely, to me, a before-dinner drink, or an after-lunch drink. The 17-year-old covers all the bases. It's got the freshness of a young whiskey, but it's also got the maturity and smoothness of an older whiskey.
This would be a good breakfast whiskey, too.
They're all good breakfast whiskey. That's what whiskey is, breakfast in a bottle. Cereal, a little bit of yeast, a little bit of water. It's muesli.
Put a little bit of eggs with this, and then a little bit of bacon, and be having a nice, wonderful breakfast.
Welcome to my life.
And so the 21 is next, right?
He always has enough to take care of.
So this goes back to a pale color now.
Pale color. In 1990, we actually changed our supplier of casks. So those new casks have now come through on the 17-year-old. So they haven't obviously come through on the 21-year-old yet. And obviously, by the time we get to 21 years old, we've lost an awful lot of the casks that we would have used up in the 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15, 17, and the 105. So our actual supply of casks are diminished significantly, so we don't have that much high casks to actually select from to make this product.
So this will change over time as those newer casks work their way into the system.
If people are drinking Glenfarclas in Europe, the 15-year-old is a lot darker, richer color-wise. The flavor really shouldn't have changed that much. It's now coming through here in the States in the 17-year-old, and then obviously in 3 or 4 years it will come through in the 21-year-old.
Now I get back to the grass notes in this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing about Glenfarclas. When it does mature, it matures like a wave. You know, you get your troughs and you get your peaks. So it picks up different things at different times in its life. 21-year-old, it's definitely a lot fresher, younger. younger sort of whiskey, but it's a very smooth whiskey. The 25-year-old, for example, is a lot oakier, a lot woodier, and then the 30-year-old comes back to the 21-year-old style.
And this comes back almost to about halfway in between the 12 and the 17 in color. It's not quite as dark as the 17, but it's not quite as light as the 12.
Correct, but it's, again, just down to casks, what we actually have available to us at that time.
And it still has the wonderful legs that all three of them have had. So
yeah. 21-year-old, I must admit, is my personal favorite Glen Farkles. It's just a whiskey, it's so well-balanced. I always use the example, and Jim McEwen from Brute Light laughs at me when I describe this whiskey. It's a whiskey, you can imagine putting this whiskey in a balloon. It wouldn't burst the balloon. There's just no sharp edges to this whiskey.
That is amazingly smooth. It's just no bite, no aftertaste, just the way a whiskey should taste.
Yes, I agree with you. Not everybody does agree with me. You know, some people do, luckily for me, prefer the 12-year-old to this whiskey. And that's the nice thing about Glenfarclas, as I've explained many, many times before. Glenfarclas is a huge range available to people. We hopefully have a whiskey to suit everybody's palate, and obviously also a whiskey to suit everybody's wallet.
Now, I'm trying to think what I get in this, in addition just to the smoothness. I don't get as much sherry. I get more vanilla and a little bit more fruity.
There's a lot more fruit in this whiskey, a lot of berries, like blueberries, blackberries coming through this. Whereas before you sort of had dried fruit and dried spices, this is definitely more like fresher spices, fresher fruit. You should also get some nuttiness coming through in this, a little bit of almonds, a little bit of like pistachio flavors coming there.
This is almost like walking through my wife's herb garden almost, and just catching a bunch of different smells.
Don't let her catch you doing that, otherwise you're in serious trouble. But the finish on this one's a lot longer as well. You know, again, you should be getting the sweetness coming through there, but it's going back to what we were saying earlier about the 12-year-old having a lovely long finish. You must now agree with me that 12-year-old didn't have a finish at all compared to this.
Yes, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to spoil the finish. It's still lasting. It's that good.
I mean, this whiskey will last for a very, very long time. Hence why I quite often say to people, you know, do drink this one after dinner. Because if people drink this whiskey before they go for dinner, you're going to lose the finish of it when you go and eat your food. Whereas this will last for a very, very long time.
What foods would this go well with, you think?
21-year-old, we've definitely sort of looked at things like this. It goes very well with seafood. You know, your oysters, mussels, clams. It goes great with lobster and things, you know, especially if you're on the west coast of Scotland. It's a whiskey that does go with light things, smoked salmon as well. But then again, it also goes with sort of like grilled venison. So it sort of, it does balance well with richer meats like that, but not so much beef and chicken.
I can see this going with, say, pork chops or something like that, too. A nice white, light-colored meat.
Definitely like that, and also it goes great with the applesauce. You know, you get that flavors coming through there as well.
I can taste the apples coming into it now, and just that nice little sugariness that sort of kicks in at the end.
That's the nice thing about Glenfarclas, because they all do have that beautiful sweetness flavor at the end of it. It's a flavor that you definitely, you know, signify with drinking Glenfarclas.
So, before we pour the 105, how long has it taken you to sort of master all this and sort of keep up the family tradition and working the stills and everything?
Well, I'm nowhere near any of that. You know, it's, I've not mastered anything. I've been working at Glenfarclas for 10 years now, and I'll be completely honest, I don't know a single thing. You know, it's, I'd like to think that I know a lot, but when you look at some of the people that have worked there for 40 years, and if I try and compare myself to them, I'm a novice. You know, it's, yes, I know a lot about whiskey, I know a lot about Glenfarclas, but when you see some of these other people that have been in the industry for 40, 50 years, I have a long way to go. As far as working at Glenfarclas goes, I've never actually worked at the stills, on the stills. I've never been a mashman there or stillman there. I have spent a year with them Inverhouse. I worked in the Spayburn Distillery, Knockdoo Distillery, Old Pulteney, and Bal Blair, where I was working on shift with them. So my father told me before I came to work for Glenfarclas, I had to go work for somebody else. He said, you'd better go and make mistakes for somebody else before you come and make your mistakes at Glenfarclas.
So it's still a couple of years before they let you anywhere near the stills, right?
Oh, yeah, no, they still don't let me anywhere near them. it's something I'd like to think that I could do. I mean, I understand the basics of it very well. Obviously, every distillery is slightly different. But could I shut the still down? Yes, I could shut the still down. Could I start a mash? Yes, I can start a mash. Have I done it there? No.
And would it match Glenfarclas quality if you did? That's the other question.
Well, there's the thing. Is it worth a gamble? You know, it's luckily for a whiskey, you've got a 10-year gap to decide whether it actually cuts the grade or not.
Okay, so the final one is the 105. This one I have had before, and this one is a monster.
I wouldn't exactly call it a monster, but
it's dark, it's rich, it's good. It's in those terms. I mean, it's
definitely a big whiskey. You know what I'm saying? It does scare a lot of people, as we've discussed this evening. People are afraid of this whiskey, but it's whiskey you do have to treat with reverence. You know, it's we were the first distillery ever to release a cask strength whiskey. We released this back in 1968. And back in the early 70s, we were on the Guinness Book of World Records as the strongest whiskey available. And it's something we've been very proud of, and we continue to do to this day. Now, it does say on the bottle it's 105 British proof, which equates to 120 American proof.
So we're looking at 60% alcohol here, and this is almost the color of burnt syrup. I mean, when you if you put it into a skillet and actually burn it, it's that really dark golden color. The others you could see through a little bit. This you can't see through at all, but the legs in it are just amazing. I mean, it's that opaque almost.
I mean, this whiskey, I mean, it's the same recipe as the last one, 60% sherry, 40% plain. Big difference between this one and the other ones you've been tasting is this whiskey has not been chill filtered, and also there's been no water added to it. This whiskey has literally come straight from the casks into the bottle.
And I know there's no age statement on here, but where is the age in this in theory?
Well, I'll catch you again. There is an age statement on this one.
Okay.
It's a 10-year-old whiskey, and the age statement is not anywhere on the bottle, but it is on the tin. It's on the tin of the bottle itself. If you read the back label, it will say it's a 10-year-old whiskey. It's only within the last 2 or 3 years here in America that we have actually put an age statement on it. And prior to that, it was actually 8 years old.
So in terms of being a lot younger, it's also a lot stronger, and it's taken on a lot of the newer flavors of the barrel, and as opposed to sort of sitting there and aging for a really long time and mellowing.
You could say that. I mean, but when I taste the 105, it's definitely a whiskey. The last few whiskeys that you've tried, you should be getting all those flavors coming through in the 105, but at their much rawest form. I quite often use the example of rhubarb or sugarcane. If you remember going out to your grandmother's garden, eating rhubarb out of the garden, and you get that flavor of rhubarb compared to rhubarb out of a jar. It's the same rhubarb, but it tastes completely different. The same can be said for the 12-year-old and the 105. 12-year-old, we've done something to it. We've added water, we've chill filtered it, we've processed it before we sell it to the public. Whereas the 105, we've done absolutely nothing to. So if you want the closest you can get to natural whiskey, this is it.
And what I get out of this is everything we talked about in the first three and then some in terms of intensity. This is like taking the other whiskeys and cranking them up to about 10 or 11 on the dial.
Definitely. I mean, it's definitely bringing everything out as much as possible. I mean, it's the thing about the 105, it does very, very well everywhere in the world. It's got almost like a cult following behind it. People have drunk this for a long time. Again, the nice thing about this is you can add an ice cube to this, you can add some water to it, you're not going to hurt this whiskey. You know, this whiskey will take everything you can throw at it and then some.
And some might argue that you really need to put some water in this one.
Some would definitely say that. I mean, we often use the 105 as we sponsor a lot of curling back in Scotland. We also sponsor a lot of curling here in America. And you know, the slogan for this whiskey is 105, strongest on ice. So it has a double meaning.
I can barely speak after that one. It's just, that's one, the flavor just sort of explodes. The others just sort of tickled your tongue in the back of your throat. This one is almost like taking a knockout punch.
It is. I mean, it's the best thing I ever heard about a description for the 105, which sticks in my mind to this day, was about 6 or 7 years ago, we had some hill walkers came into the distillery, and they said they've been drinking Glenfarclas for 25 years. And they said it had always been their dram that they drank. And I said, well, why have you always drunk 105? And they said, well, it's very, very simple. Power to weight ratio. They said, for the power of the 105 to the ratio of a bottle of 10-year-old. They said, if we had to carry 10-year-old whiskey, we'd have to take 2 bottles of 10-year-old to 1 bottle of 105 to get the same effect.
And to get the same level of taste on it.
Exactly.
This is, and I don't say this lightly, this is probably one of the best cask strength whiskies I've tasted.
I mean, there's not that many cask strength whiskies that are readily available out there on the marketplace. You know, there are other cask strength whiskies out there, but there's not that many that are always there, always available to people. As I said, we've been doing this now for 37 years, listed on the marketplace around the world. Other distilleries have been producing cask strength. It's more new thing. A lot of people do single cask strength whiskies, but something that's readily available all the time, we're one of the few that's there.
Now, I get, and I know there's no caramel coloring in this, but I get a taste of caramel in this when I taste it.
You definitely get the sweetness of the flavor coming through. Again, as you picked up on the 12-year-old 17, 21 that you tried earlier, you get that sweetness flavor. Again, because it's the 105, it's just in its rawest form, so you're picking up more of the raw sugar, raw caramel.
That is, without a doubt, amazing. By the way, Glenfarclas is about to release a series of single cask bottlings going all the way back to 1952 later this fall. There's a link to the Glenfarclas website at the Whiskey Cast website. And that's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. Of course, my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.